So we're going to reconvene here at 10:48. I would like to say that I just really appreciate, I know this is an emotional issue for a lot of people on both sides of the issue, but I just really appreciate everybody kind of keeping a calm demeanor when they're making their presentation. So far, that's just been really pleasant and sometimes not always the case in these types of hearings. We're going to get started here. I don't want to belabor the subject, so we're going to go with Mr. Hoke in the back.
District. I live just outside of Cave Junction, so I want to address this from both my professional and then as a resident of the Illinois Valley. This enforcement issue goes beyond just the topics we've been talking about. It actually is a public safety issue. Our the people, all two of them, that deal with public safety and code enforcement need to have the authority to issue citations. Let me give you an example. We've had a paint booth in Cave Junction, an illegal paint booth that's been going on for 3 years. It's a hazard to the people that work there, it's a hazard to the neighbors, and it's a hazard to the firefighters that have to respond there if there's a fire. But yet we can't get any movement on this particular structure. And that's a big issue. They need to have that enforcement authority. We respond to numerous incidents in the Illinois Valley. From an enforcement standpoint, the compounds have become the new structure fire for us. We're always going to the compounds for incidents because of illegal wiring, campers that have furnaces in them, wood stoves. They're there for a long period of time. I just saw one last week where they've actually ran the electrical cord to an illegal wire hookup through a creek, which absolutely floored me. I mean, it was a picture-taking moment for us. And that's our next fire. We see, the gentleman talked about the dumping of trash. We see it all the time. It was on an incident up in Draper Valley where they had cleared 100 acres for a grow, and they had actually a landfill on the property, a huge hole. And that particular one was turned to DEQ, and DEQ did fine them $4,000. For that one, based on the pictures that the fire district took. This enforcement issue is significant, and it has huge ramifications just beyond what we're talking about today. A gentleman brought up about the grow lights. Every fire district in Josephine County has had to respond to grow lights. It's usually when it's foggy, and we do get a bit of fog here, but that's usually when we get the call, because that light, that orange light, looks like a fire, and I see it. And I understand why they called in, and we're appreciative, but we also want to try to be a little bit educational to cut our call volume down. It is a lot of resources to go to those calls. As a resident, I'm very fortunate to live in the Illinois Valley, and I got to tell you, I think it's the prettiest place in Josephine County and in Southern Oregon. I've lived there for 4 years, lived there for Colorado, and I've watched in 4 years, really the last 2 years, a huge degradation of what's going on in our community, and it does affect my property value. I'm very fortunate to live in a subdivision that has covenants in place, but there's no enforcement of those covenants, and we have a property that they've clear-cut, they're dumping sewage, they're dumping trash, multiple campers living on the property, and it has a direct effect on me and the property value in my subdivision. So I applaud the commissioners for taking the time to at least try to address this and come up with a logical way to meet both sides on this issue. And again, just one last ploy, please look at this enforcement issue and support the planning department and support the people that are in the field. When they issue a citation, back them up. Thank you.
Next right here.
Cheryl Outfleet, 235 Woodrow Way, out in Murphy. My issue is 380 Murphy Creek Road is a compound that borders my property. They've torn down my fence. They run hoses for their sewage onto my property. I have a big sewage pile, trash, trailer right up against my fence with their hoses running under the fence. cables everywhere. There's two trailers, two or three outbuildings they're living in, a double-wide mobile home on a half an acre. This is zoned R5. I have 11 and three-quarter acres. Thanks to all my neighbors who have to put up with the smell and the noise and everything, I live down a little ways down the hill from my property line. I didn't know this was going on for quite a while. So consequently, there's a lot of sewage on my property. And it just seems like there's something you can do about it. The guy that lives there, lets anybody live there, he is brain dead, has been for years. I've lived there for 40 years on this property. And he has lived there and never had a problem. But he is like a ward of the state or something. He doesn't own the property. His sister-in-law owns it. And she lives in Portland and says, I don't want nothing to do with it. Keep the property, do whatever. She doesn't want to deal with it. So anyway, that's, you know, my problem. The smell and the sewage dumping on my property. And they walk through my property, they take things off my property, cut trees off my property for firewood. And I have witnesses to this and pictures. Okay?
Yes, Mr. Seligman.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, commissioners, for being here today. Before I begin, I want to put into evidence or testimony, I have a petition from at least 70 people and counting opposing these regulations. So I want to. So whatever anecdotal stories you might hear, these are 70 people who oppose this. First of all, my main concern in this is a private property rights issue. I want to commend Cliff Thomason for what he said, and I'm ditto. This is a text amendment which must be turned into an ordinance to be law. It is similar as far as code enforcement administrator official to what the voters of Josephine County voted down 80-20% overwhelmingly against this type of thing. This is too close to that. People should know that county council did not even draft this proposal, yet his name is used several times in it. Now, 5% of the people are creating 95% of the problems. I agree there are some problems, especially with larger recreational grows, which I'm not crazy about. But why would you legislate something that 95% of the people are doing correctly and are good neighbors? There's various particulars here that I'd like to address. One of them is odor. Odor is irrelevant because the State Court of Appeals has ruled odor is subjective, and no county government, city government can use odor, not even through time, place, and manner. You need to check the Oregon Court of Appeals. As far as things like RVs, compost piles, 2.5 acres, regarding RVs and campers, Dan DeYoung was a city councilor. He knows the situation with homeless. I echo, again, Cliff Thomason and his view. If you want to increase homelessness, just outlaw all of these compounds. Of course, there's safety issues, but you have to look at what is the lesser of two evils here. Now, do you do this for all crops? Do you have fencing requirements? Do you have compost pile requirements? Will you evict people out of their land if they're in a hardship situation and haven't applied? Will you evict them out of their land if they can't afford a trailer park? Will you do that? Then you will. This is far more than cannabis. Now, there was a town hall meeting in Cave Junction where more people showed up than were in this very room. And it was made abundantly clear that the county people want as little as regulation as possible, and they don't want it stricter than the state. It's unfortunate you didn't attend, Simon, because you would have seen what your own community would have felt. Lily Morgan and Dan DeYoung have talked about a very good thing, and that's called a cannabis committee. Not the Williams Action Committee. They do not represent the vast majorities of growers and patients in this county. But a cannabis committee would, people like myself and Peter Gendron, who works with the state, would be good additions to this before you make any conclusions. The Rural Planning Commission was the commission itself did not denied code enforcement officials. Again, private property rights. I live in Selma. I saw a fence of root balls, and that is being used as a bad fence. Yes, it's a fire hazard, but this fence doesn't even belong to a grower. So the accuracy of these complaints are subject. There are three agencies right now, the DEQ, the Fish and Game, and the county's own court. Any complaints that are issued should go through these three. We don't need to give the planning director extra power, making people guilty before innocent. It's good to know this is complaint-driven, but that's how it starts out. When you give government an inch, they usually take a foot. Too much power to a planning director in government to over-regulate what you can do on your property. I mean, what's next? You want a lien on your property? Then you lose control of your property. Again, this is too close to the ordinance that was voted down, and comparing it to a rather onerous ordinance is unfair to begin with. Dogs, guns, and transients, that's been going on for 20 years in Josephine County. Generators go for a month. What about what she hasn't mentioned regarding $500 per site maximum for voluntary compliance? Now, if you're doing everything right, why would, this is literally extortion. Representative Carl Wilson and his aide have felt that. If you're doing everything right, why would you give the county money so they don't harass you? Hearings officer, look at the intent behind that. You give an inch and they take a foot. The economic aspect and the medical aspects of the cannabis industry is very important. I sincerely hope that people sign the petition opposing this. You'll see me around. Thank you again.
Gentleman in blue.
Good morning. My name is Peter Rostow. I live in Sunny Valley. And I moved from Austin, Texas about a year ago. And the reason I moved to Josephine County was because of the limited regulations and open property rights. And I agree with everything the previous speaker said. And I understand that Josephine County doesn't have a lot of extra money. And this just seems like a backdoor way of collecting taxes. Thank you very much.
Yes, purple.
Good morning, members of the commission. My name is Peter Gendron, Sunny Valley. Been a Josephine County resident and voter for over two decades now. I also happen to be the president of the Oregon Sungrown Growers Guild, which is a nonprofit membership-based issue advocacy organization. We work at the state level, primarily attempting to influence legislation, influence the regulatory process. To that end, I've also had the privilege of sitting on the OLCC's Licensing, Compliance, and Enforcement Commission. I'm probably uniquely qualified among the members in this room to illustrate both and articulate both the intent of the state at the legislative level and at the administrative level. I want to really thank you guys for taking the time to look at this issue thoroughly and thoughtfully. I know this was kicked down the road by the previous commission, and I would say that that was obviously partially at my insistence. We did four of these meetings around the county last year, getting feedback from the citizens at large. I do not believe the planning department's position on this issue adequately reflects the feedback that I saw at those meetings. We had another butt buster on Halloween night on this very topic. Some things have changed since then, not much. In 5 minutes, you can't possibly go into everything that's wrong with these proposals, but I can tell you that under attachment B on page 9, when it comes to the mechanical engineer's certification, slightly paraphrasing, it requires a mechanical engineer to certify my neighbor's olfactory enjoyment of their backyard. There are a lot of things a mechanical engineer can do, but that is not one of them. I'd also like to thank Mr. Hart for his comments on land use and fencing. the way that people view property lines, that could become an issue, and I don't want to belabor that, but I do want to point out that about three-quarters of Josephine County is actually owned by the federal government. My next-door neighbor, my back neighbor, is BLM land. Why do I need a 25-foot setback from federal land? That doesn't even make sense. It doesn't begin to. Under the rules from Measure 67 back in 1998, that's where the genesis of keeping plants out of sight originated. That was basically copied and pasted into the OLCC language. The 8-foot fence requirement was arbitrary. The OLCC saw that. They saw that it was unnecessarily complicated, would be an unnecessary additional burden to doing business, and that's why we've modified that. There's no reason that we have to have this all fenced off. You can't contain the smell that month or so out of the year that my outdoor plants do smell. But my neighbor that I've been next to for the last 20 years, who doesn't consume cannabis at all, has never had any problem with my grow site or the grow site on the other side of it. We don't see those fencing setbacks as required. Every other plant, of course, you can't have cannabis hanging over the property line. It can't be hanging over the fence, right? It wouldn't be desirable. It's actually against the law. But why a 30-foot setback or a 10-foot setback or some other arbitrary thing? As was pointed out correctly by planning, this is to be treated as a farm crop. It is an agricultural commodity in the state of Oregon, and I don't really think the proposals that are on the table do an adequate job of differentiating what we've been doing with the medical plan since 1998 from what we're doing under Measure 91 now. Last year was a really unique year in cannabis cultivation in Oregon. You'll never see another year like 2016. There was never one before it, and there will not be another one like it in the future. Some of what's happening at the state level also right now, I don't believe is adequately contemplated with what's currently on the table. And I know there are 18 bills that are up right now. Not all of them are going to pass. Some of them are mutually exclusive. But some of them could be providing guidance to the county on what to do here. Whether we wait and see those pass or take action right now is another question. But I do think that this really needs to be revisited because we don't have consensus on this one thing. Is this about marijuana or not? I heard earlier, I'm very certain, come from the planning director that this isn't all about marijuana, except for it seems to all be about marijuana. If you want to avoid the confusion, then make these separate issues. This has already been articulated. There are a number of different departments that already have jurisdiction. A lot of these complaints aren't even really cannabis related. We have thousands, literally, of medical grow sites in Josephine County. You're hearing about a couple of grow sites, a fraction of a percent. If all of the complaints tabulated together were taken into account, you're talking about less than 1% of the county's population complaining about less than 1% of the grow sites. I don't really want to be regulated by the lowest common denominator. Thank you very much.
Please, again, just encourage you to have those comments in your head right here.
Hi, I'm Shivana Feinberg. I'm the co-chair of the Williams CAC. And there are three main things I really want to bring to your attention. The first is that the articles that we're proposing that have to do with the Williams CAC are Article 12, Article 20, and Article 69.5. And those do not have anything to do with marijuana. So the articles that would be giving the CAC, specifically what they're asking for is that the CAC receive timely notification of relevant land use applications in their jurisdiction, that the CAC have the right to suggest to the Director of Community Development that a site plan review process be used when the CAC can demonstrate that an application will significantly affect neighbors or the environment, or that neighbor input would be valuable for the review process. And the only third thing we're asking for is allowing Williams, as you have allowed Merlin, not you personally necessarily, but the Merlin area is an overlay district, allowing Williams, which has the only active CAC left in the county, to become an overlay district, whereby they can propose regulations that support the healthy values and rural nature of their unique community. So these three articles, 1220 and 69.5 before you, have nothing to do with marijuana regulation and have nothing to do with rural residential properties. What we're asking is that you separate these. If it sounds like the other regulations are going to be a long process, and these are very different, and we're asking you to please separate these and vote on these separately, because they are a very separate issue. The second point is that the state of Oregon has made citizen involvement a prioritized goal for land use planning policies. In their goals, it's goal number one, citizen involvement. The CACs are a major aspect complying with the state's mandated goal. And because at this time the William CAC is the only existing CAC left in Josephine County, its existence and functioning is quite significant to Josephine County's demonstrating that it is following the state goals. On the Josephine County website regarding CACs, and you have a lot of information about CACs on your website, it says, quote, "The CAC may hold public hearings to review and recommend changes in the comprehensive plan for its area." And that is exactly what William CAC is doing. It's fulfilling this privilege and this responsibility, which you have specifically given us with the submission of the text amendments, Articles 12, 20, and 69.5. These submissions demonstrate our partnership with you in the local planning process, and that through our collaboration, we can meet the state's goal of citizen involvement. Also, when we did go through the Planning Commission hearing, and we are aware that the vast majority of the Planning Commission was in favor of separating these amendments and passing them through on their own. But what happened, as we're afraid might happen today, is that so many of the people here are here to speak about the RR amendments and marijuana regulation that that commission got distracted and never actually, at the end, they just said, oh, we can't even vote, we're just going to pass it on to the next people. And they didn't do what they were really in favor of, and we heard and knew that they were in favor of, which is separating these few amendments which have nothing to do with rural residential and marijuana regulation. The third point is that Williams, being with cannabis being an important part of our economic situation, economic environment, and many of our friends and neighbors are medical growers, and some of them are recreational growers, we have been particularly impacted by these large industrial-sized recreational projects coming in from out of state. One of them set up 14 greenhouses with 8 fans each. That's 112 fans that they ran 24/7, literally all day and all night for 5 months, right next to neighbors. We have another situation where runoff has flooded some neighbors and also carried pesticides onto what was an organic farm and may be losing their certification. So we are already in conversation with our, again, many of our friends, many of our neighbors are growers. We are in conversation to figure out what can be done to just respect the neighbors and respect the lifestyle. And we hope to come out with some ideas in a collaborative way. But mainly we ask you to separate our amendments and move them on separately.
Thank you so much.
Hi, my name's Jim Moore. Go ahead.
Green, I was looking at. Go ahead.
Okay.
Sorry.
Going by color.
And I'm colorblind,
here.
So.
Okay,
no,
I didn't look around.
I'm not.
Nobody changed his shirts halfway through the meeting.
Jim Moore. I've been a resident of Southside the River for 19 years and a licensed contractor who just recently retired. Tell you the truth, I feel pretty much like a stranger in a strange land. Things have changed so much since I came here. I believe I have to just speak to a couple of things. One is the need for codes, regulations, and enforcement. Having been a contractor, I know that the reason for those are for public good. You know, that fire codes are developed, implemented, and enforced for the benefit of the public. And so are building codes, and they should be
in the relationship to marijuana and the growth, especially in residential areas, that needs to have some input from those of us who live in those residential zones who do not grow marijuana, do not want to grow marijuana, that left that behind in the 70s. You know, that was something we gave up because we want a different life. And I would just also, I have a big concern for, I think a fellow Riversong mentioned some of that, but the environmental degradation that happens by the deforestation that I see happening in some of my neighborhoods. Moved here because of the beauty, you know, of the residential forestry. Clear cut, I have property that has, I couldn't even name the biodiversity, it's so extreme, you know, with the beauty, with the all the different oaks, Doug fir, madrone, cedar, pines, and then all the wildlife, including grouse, which you rarely see, and all this stuff. Well, there's areas that they just clear it out. And then what do they use? Chemical pesticides, chemical fertilizers, chemical, I might have said herbicides, but pesticides, herbicides, and fertilizers. And that stuff just is in the environment. No trees, monoculture, useless. Maybe not useless, but I want to be extreme because it feels extreme. What's happening to areas of my neighborhood? Just wipe it out, grow one crop, use lots of chemicals, forget the wildlife. Let's regulate it. That's what I want to say. Thank you.
Is it purple? Oh, it was green. No, I'm sorry. Green. Then we'll go back to purple. That's true. We'll get there.
Thank you very much for taking, letting me speak. My name is Rich Eckman. I live out in Murphy, and I'm talking about the 380 issue too. We were all told that this was going to be a main issue today, and I want to apologize to the people in the marijuana. This has nothing to do with marijuana. This has to do with health, safety, and incompetency. And ditto to the, he's gone now, but to the firefighter, thanks for all his efforts. I'm here for the compounds and hoping the regulations are enforced. We have a situation I've been involved in for 3 years. I've been watching this escalate with an incompetent person who doesn't pay taxes on his property. And he doesn't, I don't know if he pays rent or whatever, but he has no regard for the safety of the residents around there and the people that he's inviting into his home. There is at times up to 15 to 20 people living on a half acre. They're coming and going at all hours of the day and night. And when you go by walking or driving, they try to influence their will on you and try to start some kind of confrontation. And we've been living with this, like I said, for 3 years. And I have a picture of the leach field that's failing, and they keep throwing dirt over the top when it comes up to the surface. It's very much a health hazard. There's odors, and the sewage. And ditto to Mrs. Outfleet for what she said about it. And the sewage that is running onto her property goes into an irrigation ditch. And so that's another health hazard. We've reported this numerous times to the DEQ, and nothing has happened. So we are at wit's end on what we can do, and we're hoping that this gets resolved. And thank you very much for letting me speak, and thank you for your service.
My name is Rebecca Taria Renborn, and I live in Williams on Kincaid.
Rebecca, what was your last name? I'm sorry.
Renborn. Yes. And ditto to Pioneer Pete, what he said, like about odor in particularly, I'd like to address that. We noticed, like last year when we were coming back from Medford and Ashland into the area, when we would turn at the Provolt store and head up to Williams proper, that we could already begin to smell that wonderful fragrance. To call it an odor is rather a negative connotation. It sort of reminds one of malodorous, and I think a fragrance is a much better description of it. It is a beautiful herbal fragrance that smells wonderful. And so I think to some people, perhaps it has a negative sort of value to them because of maybe a hangover from the prohibition days, and they still hate it, don't want their children to be exposed to it, and so forth. And so maybe there's some negative emotions involved with their interpretation of it as an odor rather than a lovely herbal fragrance. But when you turn into our area in the late summer and early fall, the entire area is permeated with that beautiful fragrance. And so to require any one grower or all growers to mitigate the so-called odor isn't really going to change anything in the Williams area, because the whole area is just fragrant in that part of the year. And if people really object to it, there are many, many ways that they can mitigate that odor in their own home. It's a hardship for some people, I've heard, to close their windows at that time of year, but maybe they could put some sort of filter in their window that would filter odors, or a lovely aromatherapy going in their home. I mean, there are many ways that they wouldn't have to smell that delicious fragrance. And I think it's an onerous burden upon the growers to require them to individually mitigate an odor that permeates the entire area. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. The gentleman in blue.
My name's Don Jaccarini, 358 Murphy Creek Road, concerning the property at 380 Murphy Creek. The other two people that spoke here before we've all dealt with this. We're all within a rock's distance of this. Concerning the compounds, concerning what's going on there, raw sewage, the criminal element that brings with these. The other thing is there needs to be some enforcement. We need to have somebody to have the power to go in there and rouse these people out. They're bad. They're creating bad stuff in the environment. They don't give a damn. They're in and out. And there is, a criminal element there. We have four other neighbors that are all within a rock's distance, and they're all the same feeling. We need to have some sort of authority to come in there and deal with this crap. It's bad. Thank you.
In the back. So I'm probably going to encourage people to not use specific addresses and such. There's a time and a place for that. Just I can see a back and forth if there's neighbors in the audience. That doesn't sound like fun or what we're here for today. If you use a general example, I kind of get the picture, and maybe we'll just leave it at that. Sir.
My name is Christopher Roll. I live in beautiful downtown Kirby. I am an OLCC recreational grower. I had a lot of help from the zoning and planning department when I went through the paperwork to become licensed. I had help from OLCC, from the water rights. It was actually a pleasant experience. I don't find that where I come from. I was really surprised everybody was so helpful. So I'm one of the evil rec growers that you're hearing about. But I don't think there have been any complaints about my grow. It's a half acre. RR5, and I tried to get a list of the complaints from Julie's office, but wasn't successful with that. Just some background. My family came to this country in 1620, and I came to Josephine County in May 2016. I retired from the military in 1997 and have been in business for myself in Florida in the plant business for 20 years. Then I decided to have a midlife crisis, so I came out here to grow weed. And it's been a great experience. The only problem is I haven't been able to go back to Florida for the winter. so I'm still here. So the three points I want to make on your amendment, which I've read more than once. Number one, Julie mentioned that medical grows were grandfathered because of the substantial investment they had made. Well, I don't know if she keeps track of numbers or not, but I can tell you setting up a recreational grow, including buying property, is also a substantial investment. I bought a house that was in foreclosure, built in 1910. I've been renovating that house. I'm actually raising the bar in my neighborhood as far as how things look. And I know when I first came out here and drove down Highway 199, I thought, you know, this is paradise. And then I started seeing all the junk cars, and I'm not talking about GTOs and Mustangs and stuff like that. I can appreciate those. But I'm talking about just basically trash and garbage. And that whole highway is just lined with places like that. So I would say that would be an honorable goal for the city, and not the city, there is no city there, but for the county to do something about all that. Now, anybody that's been paying attention to what happened in Colorado, Washington, Alaska, knows that there is a growing period for a new industry. It takes a year or two, maybe three, to figure everything out. But what I see you guys doing is kind of a shotgun approach to it, not working on individual issues. So when I was a submarine sailor for 20 years on nuclear submarines, we had a lot of rules to follow. I believe in rules. They're there for a reason, and I generally follow the rules. So I just recommend that you guys focus on where the problems are and not try to rework the whole situation. And the last thing I want to say is in this amendment, you talk about moving the growers out onto the ag land and the forest land. And that's a great theory, but you can't just go out and buy a couple of acres in those areas. You know, you can buy a house, a barn, and 40 acres. That's pretty easy. But you can't just get generally a few acres to set up your business. And then you also have water rights to deal with and electricity. So the small players in this, like myself, and I've got probably 100,000 into my business right now here in Josephine County, we would not be able to go out to those areas and buy 20 acres of farmland or forest land or whatever. So you're going to eliminate a whole group of people. One last thing, you're sending a bad message to potential investors or people that are already here that want to expand, because why would anybody want to put money into Josephine County if the situation is not stable? You need a stable environment where you do what you say you're going to do and you're not changing things because you get a few complaints. Deal with the complaints, enact whatever code you need to enact to clean the place up, and that's all you should have to do. Thanks for your time.
So I want to give the board and the public an opportunity. So I see this going on for a little while, all the evidence so far, and it's been good. I appreciate people coming and testifying. I think we could probably schedule to do this up until noon, the noon hour, for the next about 30, 35 minutes, and then take a break. My schedule I can allow can reorganize the afternoon to come back. What does your guys' look like?
I'm open till 3. Hoping it doesn't go till 3, but I'm open till 3.
When on the break, I told them to move my 1 o'clock and make it available.
So I also have
I know there's a lot of people that have come a long ways to testify, and I would just as soon get that out of the way today.
I'm willing to order a pizza and keep going, so
We will break for lunch, and I expect to do that at at noon, and we'll come back at 1 o'clock, just an hour. We'll keep it short, and we'll resume after that. So apologize for those who didn't get in already. We'll take the woman in brown.
It's time for brown.
Time for brown.
We heard you.
I'm not here to represent myself. I'm here to represent the children, the trees,
you need to state
the water.
Your name and general locale.
My name's Tamara Murphy. I live at 2800 East Fork, and that's in beautiful Williams, also known as land offenses. Okay, so what brought me here is my husband's a police officer. He's retired. He was hit by a truck. And let's see, we could ask, I wish you'd wear T-shirts because you represent Azante and you represent All Care, correct? Because that's where you got your funds from.
No.
But we're really barking up the wrong tree about medical marijuana, in my opinion. Now we have a hired member of this New World Order here that's working with 50 people. They're called the CAC. They were voted in by 28 people. Those people are gone. Now they've been appointing people. And I'm telling you, I moved here because I don't want to be dependent on the grocery stores. That's why I moved out here. I'm a rancher, but I don't have cows because I'm a vegetarian. So I have a strange situation. My husband takes marijuana for his pain. They had him on 8 different drugs, and they were going to kill him, just like they did my mother. But I don't think it does anything but make him not care that he's in pain. But he's happy, and he can do his little grow. I don't have to do anything but fertilize it. It's come and make my natural fertilizer that I'm probably going to hopefully save the world with. I'm going to tell you one thing to look out for when you come our way. First thing is look behind the groves. Look at all the dead trees. Now, I want to see some ordinances, but not the ordinances that you would find in town. Now, we don't have ordinances in Williams, and that's why a lot of people chose Williams. Now, I'm very upset that these CAC have chosen someone who's an appointed, is paid and is part of your, not your commission, but part of the planning commission, and they're working with this woman, giving her not only ideas, but taking her ideas. And I'm telling you why this is wrong. It's wrong on many levels, but it's wrong because these people are making decisions for our community. They did not do one single petition. And if I have to, if you guys don't want to do this, I've already got 40 ranchers behind me that will petition. And it's for three things. It's because they should have to grow above ground so that they don't kill the trees. And I don't care if you're organic, inorganic, that stuff grows like a weed. You don't have to put anything up. But however, the pH of the soil has to be just so for the trees. Now the children, there's one already. And these people, the CAC, got involved when they should have left a lawyer. And they caused a man $80,000 grief and another man a lot of embarrassment in the community because they wanted to talk about it. They should have let a lawyer talk about it. This man was not breaking the law, and neither was the other one. But I want to see on the books in Josephine County, I don't care about these other counties, 1,000 feet, whether it's a grow, whether it's a, we don't have any of those dispensaries, but if we should get some. And then if it's, say if I'm just processing it, 1,000 feet from those children, and that means the parking lot too. And if it's not done, we will go the same. We're not going to get an overlay. We're going to do what the law says, and we're going to petition and get what we want. And if you guys don't do it, we'll get some new people in there that are going to give us what we want. The next one is, now I don't know if you guys know, but there's innovation out here, and they have machines that run, fans that run, that are so quiet, if they are, you just, and it'll stop. And I want to see that. I moved out there, not for my cows to be wandering around at the light, looking at the greenhouses, oh, how pretty. No, the cow gets screwed up that way. So, first of all, when it comes to the greenhouse, do you know how easy it is? Take some black plastic bag, dowel rod, and I cover that up at night.
Get back on the mic so we can hear you, please.
20 acres. You don't need, I don't need a mic. 20 acres from this grow. I don't need a flashlight at night to go out on my ranch. This is criminal. I don't care if it's a personal grow. I don't care if it's an industrial grow. Us ranchers are PO'd. Our cows are up all night wandering around, don't get back to the barn. And then a mountain lion, anything could come and eat them because they don't make it back to the barn because they're staring at the lights, wondering what it is. Now, again, it might sound trivial to you, but it's a big deal when you're a rancher. Now, you look around and you're going to see, okay, oh, look at all these, all they're covered, got these ugly fences everywhere. The plants didn't do anything wrong, but for some reason we have to have ugly fences everywhere. Okay, what I want to tell you is, you guys might not know, 50 years ago, this same stuff came up. They were going after the ranchers because the cows pooped and they smelled and they were, people would leave them dead, you know, because they just wanted the dairy. Same thing. And I want to know, when is it going to stop? When are these regulations going to stop?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
One other thing.
No, I'm sorry. Your time is up. Really appreciate it. You can actually put those things in writing, and you can submit it to the board, bcc@co.josephine.or.us. But otherwise, your time is expired. Thank you so much. We'll go to the next person. We'll go back to green right here in the front row, and then we'll go to you, miss, right after, behind you. It's a green jacket, right? Black?
Black, faded.
Ish.
Carhartt.
All I see is green. It was black. It is black. Yep. Thank you. Well, sorry, the lights,
the lighting.
It's the lighting. We'll go with that. Hi, Dan Loughran, Williams, Oregon. First of all, I'd like to welcome the new commissioners, Ms. Morgan and Mr. Young. Thank you for taking your time and your effort to come in and jump into this snake pit. let's go back to where this whole thing started. We need a little review. There was four meetings in the county, which started in June. And you'll notice on the slide that June 8th was when the manipulation of the rural residential property started. At three of the meetings, one of which you were at, Ms. Morgan, it was clearly stated by the commissioner with a substantial conflict of interest, said we are not looking at residential, rural residential property at this time. That was the biggest piece of Pinocchio squeeze I've seen. Look what's come out from 6-8. Before all the meetings were even done. The meeting here in Grants Pass, the exact same was said. The meeting in Cave Junction, the exact same thing was said. Three times I went to those meetings and it was stated, and she was, no, we're not. Directed directly to her to go after rural residential property. I absolutely echo, wherever the governor, whatever he was, went for. And Mark, these are personal property rights. I moved here for that specific reason. I looked at Josephine County because of its regulations. I bought property that was flat, plantable, with a water right and exposure. Not to grow cannabis, I grow lavender, another plant with a substantial smell. I won't call it an odor. I also have been affected by the rural residential and having commercial cannabis inside my residential zone. It is not appropriate. I get it. The woman who has her son and has to make a living on it, absolutely. I understand it. But the impacts that have happened to my property from this recreational grow, which has substantial violations known to Mrs. Schmelzer, who does not have the ability to enforce them. Substantial safety violations. Substantial, not little ones. Had injuries to her employees. No workers' comp insurance. None of that. All of this is coming onto my property from the removal of a swell from 50 years old. No civil engineer was taken out to put in this flat plaid for the greenhouse to be put up on. No civil planning was done to remove a culvert and reduce it and then raise the driveway. None of that. This woman is working handcuffed, shackled, and then put into a bucket of water. When are we going to get an enforcement? It's not working. We can regulate all day long, and you can't do this, and you can't do that, and you can't. But who's going out to put it into the paper and saying, no, it will not work? The complaint issue. I keep hearing it. We have lots and lots and lots and lots of complaints. Lots of complaints on this. Lots of complaints on that. In one of the meetings, we actually had an official 100 complaints. And thank goodness somebody did the math for me. It comes down to 0.0014% of the population of Josephine County was complaining about this issue. When asked, how many people are complaining about dog barking or speeding? Oh, I don't know. Let's put our money where it really matters. We're going after something that's really, really small. I get it. Cars stacking up, that's ugly. I don't want it next door to my house, but that's where they're living and that's their property right to do so. They want to put up big pieces of root ball? Eh. Okay, not the smartest thing. Fire hazard, absolutely. Site hazard, site unpleasant, yeah, okay. But is it my property? No, it's something I have to drive past and say, it doesn't look so nice. I control mine. When somebody else's issue comes to my property, then it becomes problematic. Then I have to be one of the official complaints. Is it against the cannabis industry or just a bad property owner? That's where it gets down to. please take your time in these issues. Please break them out into very individual issues. I recommend separating the Williams CAC request. It's something that the community looks at and says, yeah, we're behind it. So please take that into consideration. Thank you.
Back in the back in the blue, green hat.
Hi, my name is Miles. I'm local. I'd like to thank you for letting me take the time to talk to you because I am concerned about something.
I didn't catch your name, Miles. Yeah, Miles, what?
It's Miles.
Your last name?
Is that necessary?
If you don't want to.
I'd prefer not to.
That's fine.
Thank you. I come here in the greater public interest. That's really why I'm here. I don't have land, you know, but I realize, the video that we watched earlier, it was the Enabling Act, or the Admissions Act, the method by which the government gave us the land. You know, this is the law. What I want to talk about is the law, not policy, not code. I want to be sure that you guys are doing what you're supposed to be doing. I don't know how to better phrase that, but... But the land patents, you're already talking about making more codes when it hasn't been laid out for me how it is you do have the authority to infringe on somebody's land patent. So I would like that in writing.
We'll get that.
Because land patents are different. They do differ. And if it is an agricultural issue, you need to go to each individual land patent and not just the Enabling Act or the enactment where it's different in Oregon, I forget. But that is the thing to do. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. In black. I'm just going to encourage you, Miles, to reach out to our legal counsel for land patent information. He's the gentleman in the red sweater over there. Matches the chair.
My name is Anna Fornishon, and I'm a member of the Williams CAC. I'm the meeting secretary, so I've been present at all the meetings and taken notes. I would like to ditto what Stephen Williams and Shivana Feinberg have both said about separating the articles. I don't want to go into that anymore. I would actually like to give a little bit of history from the work that we've been doing as the CAC, just to give you a bit of more of an idea of what's been going on. And it started pretty much back last September when we had controversial issues around processing plant application that was going to be put in the center of Williams. And through the residents of Williams being very concerned about this, and as Stephen said, lots of neighbors falling out about it, we actually held a town meeting on October 18th, which addressed not just that, but also our concern around us being able to receive applications in due time so that we can actually look at these before it becomes a problem for the neighbors and the town in general. And at that meeting, we took a general vote. It was a visual vote, people's raising their hands, and asked them if they were interested in us asking for these applications and being able to have Julie Schmelzer change something to be a standards and criteria, meaning that neighbors could have their input around such applications. And there were 68 yeses, 8 noes, and 1 abstaining. There was way more people in the room than that. But it just gave us a general indication that that was something that those that were present were wanting us to go ahead with. We also at that time took a list of email addresses for people who were interested in becoming a part of something which we later called the Vision Council, which was to look at how we could work on creating something of an overlay for the Williams watershed. 50 people or more signed up at that, and so I began to start relaying this information to those people and other people through other forms of media that we've been active on. such as something called Joe's List and Facebook. We sent a letter to Josephine County on the 27th of October asking for these applications, and then the 31st October meeting that happened here, both Shahana and I were there to represent the CAC, and we asked for our articles to be separated, and the unfortunate thing of it not being able to be separated at that time. On the 1st of November, we had our first Vision Council meeting, which was widely attended. There was over 45 people there, and there was a lot of intelligence and heart-founded communication going on in the room between local residents and neighbors, people's concerns being voiced. And at that meeting, we decided to concentrate on what was long-term issues and what was short-term issues, and we created groups to look at those. And we've had, all in all, about 12 meetings, which includes some of smaller meetings with groups that were formed originally from that Vision Council since November through to this time, including our last town meeting, which we had, which was a town meeting, it wasn't a Vision Council meeting, where we were asked again whether the residents of Williams were willing to support us, that's the CAC, to go forward in asking for these applications to be forwarded to us and creating an overlay to look at things like light, sound, and traffic problems that have become really become issues for neighbors in Williams. And we had, there was more than 50 people in the room, but we had 50 people say yes and 4 say no. And that was a closed poll, no visual, no just raising of hands. I'd also like to state that we are, as volunteers of the CAC, we do our best to inform the residents of Williams of our movements and what we're planning and how we would like to communicate with them all. We're working on outreach and helping to get to more people than we have been so far. And what seems at one of the Vision Council meetings, well, at all of them really, what seems to be kind of a unifying desire of residents is that we live in and appreciate a rural land, and we live on which merges with wildlands, and to live peacefully amongst each other and have respect for our neighbors. Thank you
so much. Thanks for not applauding, even if we felt that way. So there's some conversation going on in the foyer, and there's plenty of seating in here, so maybe we can close those doors so if people want to. Gentlemen, I think it's mostly men I can see. Thank you, that'd be great. So we're gonna go to the gentleman in the hat. It's just luck of the
head. Make it quick. My name's Bob.
The other gentleman in the hat, yeah.
Oh, me or the other one?
No, you.
All right,
Mr.
my
Scout.
Name's Bob Bell. I live in Cave Junction, 6020 West Side Road. I was one of the first ones to use a restroom during the break, and I found some money on the floor. So, anybody use it?
It's not a lot.
New steering wheel. No.
Okay.
Thank you.
Did you have further testimony for us?
Yeah.
Awesome. Go for it.
Fine. Yeah.
Okay, moving right along. There was somebody in a hat over here. There you go. Sorry.
Hey, we're in the money business.
Well, my name is Rick Friedman. I live in Murphy, and I'd like to talk a little bit about today about not necessarily what the staff is recommending, but enforcement. I've built a house. I've lived here for 10 years, and my neighbor had a uninhabitable mobile home that burned down that was next to my house, and behind that mobile home there was 100 bags of hemp. And luckily, the fire department came out and put the fire out. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here today, and neither would my house. It's very important to follow rules and laws. This is the 2014 Oregon Structural Specialty Code. This is adopted by the state of Oregon for building. There's another code for residential. It's the same size. Together, those make up the building code requirements, and they do have setbacks. Setbacks are very important. This is the 1964 Uniform Building Code, probably adopted many, many years ago, and you can see we've come a long way in the past 50 years. We need to continue to progress and have laws and rules and regulations, and we need to enforce them. We all know that there's 11 million people here in this country illegally. They've come across the border, and now we're going to have to build a wall and spend billions of dollars. We need to enforce our laws. It's very important. In Oakland, California last year, there was a fire in a commercial building in a warehouse that was converted to an apartment building. People lost their lives because they didn't follow the building code and because they didn't have inspections. Inspections and codes are very important. I understand that there was 2,000 illegal grows last year in Josephine County, and about 100 people had actually legally got permits to do a grow. If you have 2,000 illegal grows in the county, there should be something done about that. You should be able to enforce those so that people abide by them. We should have building inspectors to come out and make sure that they're doing it right. The building codes have a whole section in grading. Grading's important, erosion is important. If you have 2,000 illegal grows and you charge a building permit fee for a fence and a planning fee for to come out and enforce what's done, that's $700,000 that the county missed out on. Has nothing to do with taxes. That's just building permit and planning costs. I beg of you to enforce the codes and also approve what the planning department is recommending. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to try to take two more people. Black jacket, blonde hair. I was actually chastised by this side of the room because I was looking over there too much. So, you know what? I apologize. It just is what it is. I should say before we get started is that if you're not able to stick around for this afternoon and you want to submit testimony, we really want to hear from you, and I apologize that I didn't get to the woman in the second row over there, but we will. But if you can't, please submit your testimony to the Board of County Commissioners at the bcc@co.josephine.or.us. It's on our website. We have received more than a dozen comments already on that in that way. Thank you.
I'm Sandy Diesel. I'm the director of Right to Grow, and I'm also a founding partner of 420 Consultants. And I ditto much of what Cliff Tomlinson said earlier, Mark Siegelman testified, Mr. Lochner here. This is not a marijuana issue. This is a property rights issue, and unfortunately, it's a bad neighbor issue. You have no easy job in front of you, commissioners, as I'm sure you've witnessed with Jackson County. Everyone here has a right, but as Mark testified, 95% are doing it right, and 5% that are doing it wrong does not justify unreasonable regulations. Julie herself has said nearly 90% of those complaints were actually illegitimate complaints. And, you know, people just complain to complain sometimes. Most times I find that they don't know what the laws are. The 14 greenhouse grow, we've all heard about it. I know from a professional standpoint, I consult them. And what most people don't know is they are not violating any existing code. They're doing it right. They did it right when they came to our town, and they researched what their current code was, and they're complying to the best of their ability, and they're being good neighbors. The guy Lochner talked about earlier, that they are trying, guys. Come on, they're trying. The other complaint we hear a lot about is the, Mr. Lochner talked about the person that came in from out of state, didn't listen to good neighbor advice saying, hey, you know, if you grade that land, we're going to have a flooding problem. hey, if you build that greenhouse, we're going to have an engineering problem, or hey, we have a fire problem. Those are real legitimate complaints. So people are coming into our town, and they're just not being good neighbors. And now we have 8 properties that are flooding because of a bad neighbor. It's not a marijuana problem. This is just really a people problem. It's a property rights problem. We heard testimony from Ms. Brown earlier, very obviously very upset, very passionate. What I take away from her testimony is that we need to educate growers on how to be better growers, to teach them about the soil and protecting our property. The fact is there are just bad people, and they're not, it's not a criminal element in our industry. Do I look like a criminal? Those people affect my right to grow. The people that come in here that are doing it bad just because they're bad people and bad neighbors are bad for us in the industry also. The woman you heard earlier that has a very sick son that this medicine is saving his life and giving him quality of life affects her right, their human right to medicine, their property rights. One bad apple, you don't cut down the whole orchard. You try to make it better, and you make it better for all of us. My advice to you as commissioner is to please take your time on this. Educate yourselves. Educate this community. You will find that if you educate the people, you'll get a lot less complaints. You cannot create, I heard the last gentleman say about enforcing, he's absolutely right. I see a big problem that we have in Jackson County is enforcement issues. You cannot create regulations that you don't have the ability to enforce. You cannot overstep your authority when it doesn't belong to the county, when it's a state level or an ODA level. So my advice is that you work with those authorities, and it's not going to be an easy job. Julie has told you that the county literally has no communication or support from OLCC or the OHA. You have no easy job. So my advice is to really take your time on this. Whatever ordinances you create, consider a grandfather clause for the medical growers. Consider a grace period for anybody that's not complying, that you give them a reasonable period of time to figure out how to comply. And at the end of the day, I really think that really what has to happen here is that we all need to come together and be better neighbors. And that's going to start and end with you, commissioners. Thank you for your time.
Just one more person. We're going to go with the, the woman who obviously paid advocates in this.
I'd applaud if I could, but I'm not allowed to.
We will reconvene at 1 o'clock right here when we're done. So resume the testimony.
Hi, my name is Ginger Edlison. I'm here with a few of my neighbors, and we have a complaint about a property on Campsway Road at 3344. This property has a school bus that's been there for 35 years, probably, an old mobile home, a single wide. They've moved in 2 campers and a mini motor home. There's probably at any time 7 to 9 cars and junk piled everywhere. There's children's play equipment there. And our concern is, we know that that's against code to have that many pieces of equipment on probably a half acre. Plus the fact that where are all these people going to the bathroom? And it's just, if you just go drive by it, it'd make you sick. And we'd like to have something done. We've been calling, bugging the people. And I guess they can only do so much. But that's our complaint, and hopefully something will get done about it. Because children living there under those conditions besides, it has to be a health hazard. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Well, Okay. I want to appreciate everybody's patience so far. We're going to reconvene in 1 hour at 1 o'clock. So we'll see you here.